Welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel podcast. I am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel. And yeah, Happy New Year. If I haven't already said Happy New Year to you at some point in the first week of this year, I am recording this just one day before the podcast is coming out. So I don't even know what day this is. The 8th, just Monday the 8th. And yeah, I just want to check, how has your year started? How is it going so far? Have you come into the year all guns blazing with a new mindset, new attitudes, ready to go, making changes? Or have you come into the first week of the year kind of going, should change stuff, but either life's happening, or the motivation's not there, or you don't know where to start, or you're in wintering mode. That if you, I took 3 weeks off over Christmas time, and it's definitely trying to get into the momentum and into the rhythm of coming back into work and having a to-do list and having things to do, and it's like, oh, the list is massive. And I'm just struggling to get that momentum going to get moving forward. So whichever you are, and you might be somewhere in between those two, whatever you are, know that that's okay. Know that it is 100% okay. And this too shall pass. That is one of the most beneficial quotes that I have ever been given. And it's beneficial regardless of where you are, right? Whether you're up there fully motivated, go, 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 or whether you're struggling, because this will pass. For evolving, ever-changing human beings. For females, we live in a 28-day cycle. We also have, within that 28-day cycle, 24-hour cycles. And then on top of the 28-day cycle, you've probably got an additional maybe 90-day cycle over and above that. So the seasons impact so much. A lot of people I've spoken to recently, oh, I'm really struggling with a seasonal affective disorder. Really, I need to get one of these lights, blah, blah, blah. They're really, this will pass because we're heading, we've met the shortest day. I nearly said the longest day. We're heading to the longest day. We've passed that shortest day. So from here on in, the days are getting slightly longer. That's something to look forward to. The longer days, the longer nights. But not everybody enjoys those longer days and longer nights. So wherever you are, know this too shall pass. But whatever you meet, that will also pass as well. Nothing is fixed. Everything is transient. And that is so useful and so powerful. For me, when I was in hospital, 2022, I was really ill, I couldn't walk, I was in agony, and I just kept reminding myself, this too shall pass. And that's what kept me from wanting to give up, but also knowing that when things are good, things are not always going to be good. And as much as I like to live in a Pollyanna world, that's not real life. Life does happen to us. You know, I've got one friend who is currently dealing with several members of her family, been recently diagnosed with cancer. And I have another friend who has just sold her house and technically is homeless, but that's the life she wants to live. She has an amazing job that she's allowed to travel. She's not allowed to travel, she gets to travel with, and she doesn't have to stay in one place all the time. So she's going to live a bit of the nomadic life, and she had a couple of years of really tough times, and this is her time where things feel like they're falling into the right place. I struggled for a couple of years with my health. This is the first time. Need to know, and if you're eating, I apologize, but I have now had about 2 weeks where I have done more normal poos than not. And for somebody who lives with an inflammatory bowel condition, that is something to be celebrated. To know that you have not had very loose bowel movements. That's all I'll say about that. I will move on. But anybody who experiences Well, issues will understand where I'm coming from with that. What can you do right now, wherever you are at, whatever mood you're in, whatever headspace you're in? What is one thing that you can do to make things good for you? And even if you're already in that really good space, what is the one thing? What's the next one thing you can do? Because everything can always get better, no matter how good things are. And it's not greedy to want the best, to want the most. I have two new Pilates classes which are starting on the 9th. So when you're listening to this, that'll either be today or it will have been the 9th of January if you're listening to this further on in the future. Two new Pilates classes, both of them are full, which is great. I only take four or five people in each class because I use the studio space in my home. Could fit a sixth person in, but it would make everybody very shoulder to shoulder contact, and I don't like to crush people into it. I like to have a little bit of space in between people. My online classes are back, and I have a new client who isn't a new client because she was my very, very first ever client. Back in 2009, I started in a Pilates studio, and I was there initially as an admin assistant because I wasn't qualified, and I'd only been there maybe a couple of shifts. And I came in and my boss said to me, I need you to cover this session when they arrive in. And in came this lady who was trained by me. I was shitting myself because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I did, because I'd been training myself and I was at college and I was learning how to do this. But, and my boss was there to supervise and ask for help. But I was very much thrown in at the deep end, and it was something I'm very grateful for, to Sarah Jane, for doing that with me. She did that throughout the year that I worked with her. She was just like, yeah, can you go and do that? There was no, let's wait until you know what you're doing, because the best way to learn is to actually be in there with people. And here we are, 2024. She's back at class with me, and she comes for massage, and she's dipped in and out of things over the years, but it's always so lovely to know that there is somebody from that far back. And all my regular clients, I've mentioned this before, all my regular clients have now been with me for over 10 years, which just fills my heart with joy. And they're all online. So it's lovely to see faces and to start to get a little bit of routine into the days, into life. And then deciding from there, what's next? How do I want things to grow? So I'm asking myself the same questions that I'm asking you to ask yourself. What's next? What do you want? How do you want your life to look? There's a lot of people just now that I've spoken to or seen putting out posts on social media saying that they're really taking stock and having a review of their life. January, for some people, they do dry January. And I know lots of people who did dry January in January 2023. And a year later, they're now celebrating 1 year of not drinking alcohol because they've transitioned through, and it seems to be a lot of people my age. So I'm going to be 45 in February, and it seems to be a lot of people in that sort of 40 to 50 age range that are kind of going, hang on a minute, what have I been doing in my life? This boozing at the weekend is not really making me feel good. As we get older, how we are able to metabolize alcohol completely changes as well. When you were in your 20s, probably went out, got steaming, came home, got up the next day and went straight to work on a couple of hours sleep and just managed to push through. And as you start to mature into your body, that becomes less possible. But also you realise what is more important to you. You start to take more stock of seeing people get diagnosed with illnesses that are maybe of age with you, and you think, wow, I don't want that for myself. Or you see parents maybe struggling, whatever it is that you're experiencing, and you just think, how can I make things better? I've joined the British Society of Lifestyle Medicine, which are all about evidence-based lifestyle methods that we can use to improve our health and well-being, to try and keep us out of the doctor surgery. Now, that's what my whole training has been. When I did health, fitness and exercise back at college in 2009, and actually my degree in sport and exercise science, although it was about sport science, there was a big portion of it is about how do we look after our health, because health is vitally important if you're going to be an athlete, but your health is vitally important if you're just going to be a human being processing through life. We've had the last, now coming up 4 years, can you believe it's been nearly four years since the 2020 madness hit? But it was really highlighted how under pressure the NHS is, how unavailable many services are. I am now 5 months waiting for an MRI since speaking to gynecology. I had waited a whole year to speak to gynecology. Now, I'm unfortunate. I've talked about this before. I'm not fortunate. I work very hard on my health. Now I know what the problem is, what lifestyle practices can I bring in to solve this. And this is what the British Society of Lifestyle Medicine is all about. There's a lot of doctors are members of the group as well, and it is about using that evidence-based formulas. The medical industry is obsessed with everything being evidence-based rather than it being anecdotal, stepping away from what people think is quackery, what people think is woo-woo. You know, crystals do something. I can't tell you what they do because I don't know anything about it, but crystals do something. They're an energetic field, part of the planet, part of the earth. You know, Reiki has been studied quite extensively now, so that is now accepted as evidence-based research to be able to bring that into the medical world. Reflexology has enough evidence behind it that people can say, yeah, there's enough evidence there, we're happy to include this as a pillar of your support. Somebody was asking about castor oil recently, and there isn't evidence base to support that. Castor oil, if you don't know about castor oil, has been used for thousands of years in India, and it's used mostly topically. You can take it orally, but it will clear your pipes. It predominantly gets used as to help get the bowels moving. So when I had really bad constipation last summer, I said I wasn't going to talk about my bowels again, but here I am. So it was the last summer, I had 2 weeks, hadn't been to the toilet, started using the castor oil pack. That's what got motility back, getting my bowels moving. Now, I used that topically, so it was on my abdomen with some material over it and a hot water bottle to get it to absorb into my skin. Now, since in the last couple of months, there's been some viral TikTok videos for castor oil where people are using it for, I don't know, all sorts of things. But topically, people are using this castor oil, and there's a lot of outlandish claims about what it can do. So I thought, I want to just check evidence-based, what is the evidence behind castor oil? Now, there's one paper that I could find in PubMed, which is where medical people would go to check for research. It was a small study, and it wasn't on castor oil as castor oil. It was on the specific oil, which the name of it, I'm not going to pretend I know the name of it. Something acid, recolinin acid or something like that, which is the isolated compound, because no pharmaceutical company is going to do research on anything that they're not going to be able to make money from, so they have to isolate the compounds, because you can't put a patent onto a source of nature, so they wouldn't be able to put it on the castor beans which they extract the oil from. And in this study, they did discover that it does have a laxative effect. So if your bowel is not moving, using this oil is definitely showing to help motility in the bowel, to help. So for constipation, it is excellent. And the other thing that they found it was really useful for was histamine blepharitis. So that's inflammation around the eyelids and around the eye. Podcast I did a few weeks ago was about my histamine response when I was consuming fermented foods, and one of the things that had happened to me was my eye, particularly my left eye, but both eyes got very eczema-like symptoms around them. It was very cracked in the corner of the eye. The eyelid was quite inflamed. And just purely by coincidence, this was, I only looked at that research paper 2 days ago, and this was more than a week ago. I thought, I'll maybe just put a wee bit of castor oil on her eyes because the skin was really dry, as well as it being inflamed and itchy. Put some castor oil on, and the next day the inflammation had dramatically reduced. The itching had gone away, the inflammation had gone away. So it turned out that this is an actual remedy that science has looked at and said, yes, it is. So for inflammation, particularly around my eyes, castor oil was a benefit. So if castor oil is something that people have told you to try and use, the thing about it is, and as one of my teachers said, the worst thing that you're going to get from using castor oil is moisturized skin. Most people will not have a negative reaction to it. There might be if you have an allergy, which chances of you having an allergy, castor oil are going to be really, really small, but always patch test. Don't lather yourself. It's a very thick oil, it's very tacky and doesn't absorb in. It acts almost like a barrier, but if you can leave it on and not touch, you will definitely get the benefit of it. So I have been using it around my eyes for about a week, just over a week now. Significant improvement in the condition of the skin around the eyes. So I can report back that it has indeed, according to the science and according to my own experience, it has worked in helping reduce that inflammation around my eyes and also the motility of my bowel. Happy days. Now, I wanted to also answer some questions today that I have been getting. And I'm just going to wait for my laptop to boot back up because the screen has gone black and everything is working slow in the technology world. So if you do have any questions, please do send them over to me. So wherever you listen to this, if there's an option to put a question or whatever, please do put a question. If there isn't an option to put a question, then you can send me an email. My email address is jen@iamjenwilson.com. Right, well, here we are. Right, one of the questions was, are there any specific modifications or variations for women in their 40s in Pilates exercises? Now, there are modifications that we can make to every exercise in Pilates, depending on what you need. So I have, in the past, had clients with knee replacements. I have a client with both her hips replaced, a client with scoliosis, arthritis, osteoporosis, menopausal women, lots of variation in my client base. I have Crohn's and endometriosis. So the modifications that we make are very specific to you as an individual. So if you come to class, whether that's online or whether that's in person, as long as I know what is going on in your body, I can make the necessary modifications. Now, some of those modifications are, rather than doing a kneeling tabletop, so being down on your hands and knees, you might do the exercise lying flat on your belly or standing at a wall. Other exercises might be, if for any reason you can't get down onto the floor, you can do all the Pilates exercises either standing up or sitting down in a chair. I have a whole Sit Fit series on my online on-demand membership. So if, as long as you let me know what is going on for you, I can tell you what modifications need to be made so that the Pilates exercise is appropriate for you. How often should I practice Pilates and see noticeable How often should I practice Pilates to see noticeable results? So I would recommend doing Pilates 2, maybe 3 times a week. If it's suitable for you to also include some weights in your Pilates exercises, that's going to enhance things a little bit faster. But even if you don't include any weights in your Pilates, just doing Pilates, within about 4 weeks, you will start to, in fact, within one session, you will start to notice a difference in your body, because we will have moved joints. We will have brought awareness into your body where you notice how you hold your posture and you notice how you move around. Straight away, once you bring awareness into that, you will make very subtle changes to how you stand and how you move. And then that's going to have a knock-on effect. So although you come and do a one-hour Pilates class, if you remember what you've learned within that class and apply it into everyday life, then essentially you're going to be practicing an element of Pilates all the time you're up and about and moving around. When we get busy and we forget, then we drop into old habits. But the more that you can remind yourself and put little prompts, then your day-to-day movement is going to improve, which is going to give you results faster. An absolute minimum of 12 weeks where you would go, I know that there's a definite difference in my strength. Some people find it much faster. Depends, of course, on your movement history. If you've never done any exercise before and you come in and your aches and pains and everything's stiff and tight, it might take a little bit longer. If you've come in and you already are a very active person, then you might notice changes much, much faster. So everybody's going to be different, but I would say an absolute minimum of 12 weeks where there's a definite difference from start to finish. I notice changes in clients much sooner than that, because I'm watching and seeing how they're doing things, and I go, oh, they are getting that now. They might not be aware that they're getting it, but I can see definitely a minimum, like 4 weeks. 4 weeks is a long time for there to be no change. I would definitely notice a change in you from the start to finish of the first class. And then the more you practice, the more you have awareness in your movements, the faster you're going to see results. And then if you add some weights in, and you don't need to use heavy weights in Pilates, really light weights just to help stabilize the joints is going to be mega beneficial. Right, let me see. I want to do one more question and it not be about... Let me see. Okay, values. Values, values, values. I've been posting a lot about the Healing Rebel. I was calling it the Healing Rebel Mastery. Wasn't really sitting with people, wasn't really getting engagement. So I spoke to some colleagues, got some feedback from people, and they felt that the word mastery was maybe for people who were already in a healing space and wanted to take it up to the next level. And the free session that I have is the Body and Mind Reset. So that's the masterclass. There's a recording of that on the podcast a few episodes back. So please do go back and check that out if you haven't listened to it before. I'm now going to call it the Healing Rebel Body and Mind Reset Coaching, because that makes more sense, because it's about your body and mind reset. And the first pillar of that, the first thing that I ask you to do is to look at your values. I want you to know your values, understand your values, and then check in with yourself that you are living to those values. Examples of values are honesty, freedom, integrity, knowledge, learning. These are just some words that are popping into mind at the moment. When you do this module, there is a table of, I think about 100 words or more, of vocabulary there for you to have a look at, to prompt you. And then I would encourage you that every, maybe 12 weeks, every quarter, review them. Check that those values that you said you wanted to live your life by are still the values that you want to live your life by, that they're working for you. Because when we live by our values, every decision we make, when they are in line with those values, is the right decision for you. What do I mean by that? Honesty. If honesty is one of your values, and honesty is about being honest to everybody and expecting everybody to be honest with you, I also turn that on you. Are you being honest with yourself? So if you are being honest with yourself and somebody invites you to a night out that you really don't want to go to, you say no. You don't have to have an excuse. to not go. If you are saying that you want to lose weight, and the question is every decision that you're making helping you towards that goal? Can you honestly say that yes, it is? So the food choices that you're making, the drink choices that you're making, the movement choices that you're making, are they all made in line with you wanting to achieve that goal? And if the choices are not towards that goal, is that still okay? For example, if weight loss is your goal and you're invited out for dinner and you want to go for dinner, and the choices on the menu are maybe going to take you a little bit away from that goal, but you know that you're doing that and you're okay with that because you know that the next meal or the next day you're going to be back on track, then you're being honest. It doesn't have to be that every single meal is on point for whatever it is that you want to be eating for that day. Like, you're allowed to have flexibility so that you, because when you create your goals, when you're making lifestyle changes, you need to know that there's flexibility in them, but you also need to know that there's sustainability. So if you decide that you're going to follow this particular regime that you can't deviate from, and it means that you never get to go out for meals, and it means that you never get to dine with other people in your household or whoever you eat food with don't want to eat the food that you're eating, and it makes you feel isolated, makes you feel excluded, you're much more likely to ditch that than you are if you're following something that's much more flexible and sustainable. So keeping these things in mind when you are setting your goals, especially if you've come into the start of the year and you have been going all guns blazing and you're, yes, doing everything, but then you're starting to think, oh, hang on a wee minute, I'm not going to be able to do whatever it is that you think you're going to want to be able to do. So checking in with yourself, and that's where the values come in really, really handy. Are you being honest with yourself? Are you burning yourself out trying to achieve the unattainable? That is the question. So I'm going to leave that there for today, because I do feel like I have given quite a bit of information and for you to have things to think about. So if you've got any questions, if you have got any particular topics that you want me to talk about on the podcast, please do reach out to me anywhere that you're listening or by email. I will say again, jen@iamjenwilson.com. Follow me on all the socials. If you know somebody that needs to hear anything that I have said in today's podcast, it really helps me and the podcast if you can share it. If you can share it on your social medias and tag me, because that just like makes me cry to know that people are listening and sharing the podcast. And also, if you don't already subscribe or follow wherever you're listening, that really helps as well, because that's something that the gatekeepers want to hold over us, to make sure that, one, we are showing up given these podcasts, and two, that people are actually interested in the content. So if you can subscribe or follow wherever you are, that would be so helpful as well. All right, have a wonderful day. Remember, this too shall pass, wherever you are on your journey, and I will see you on the next podcast.